Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
250,000 dollars? Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey man, it's good to have you listening. That is defined by the National Football League to our team, owner Arthur Blank. 250, Jeff Ulbrich gets fined 100K. This is for the prank that Mike and I discussed earlier in the week, and you probably by now have heard. Shedeur Sanders gets pranked by Jeff Ulbrich's kid, Jax. And this has become a story. But, you know, as we said the other day, look, we went in on this. Mike and I had a great conversation about it. We said, look, we'll see what happens. Well, today that punishment came down. And, Mike, here's the deal for me. This is where I'm at. I know a lot of people are like, this is steep. Why are we in the news for the wrong reasons? Why does it seem as though our Falcon football team always is in the news for the wrong reasons? We're not in the news for playoff runs. We're not in the news because we've won another ring. We're not in the news because, you know what, we've got special players, and we do, and we're talking about how well they performed. It's always stuff like this, Mike, where we're in the news for something else other than what we should be. And for me, that's the frustrating part as a fan is, look, I'm not paying the fine. I know Arthur Blank's probably not happy, Mike. But at the end of the day, it feels like as a fan, this is the kind of stuff that everybody wants to discuss instead of discussing what kind of team we're going to have.
Yeah, man. I said it on Twitter today. Follow us. He's put him up. C Dukes on Mike Bell ATL. You know, in all my years, about six, you know, five or six, I started knowing what the NFL was, fought a bunch of teams wherever I've lived. I've never seen a team get fined for more stupid blank than the Falcons. I mean, you know, you realize, guys, and it's funny, that fake crowd noise that got pumped into the Georgia Dome, that cost us a fifth rounder and $350,000 in 2016. Carl, that could have been the corner that would have stopped the bleeding in the Super Bowl.
You're absolutely right. We'll never know. It could have been.
We may have drafted a guy in that fifth round pick that might have been the secret sauce when things were going downhill. But again, $350,000, a fifth round pick over fake crowd noise pumped into the Georgia Dome, which is the stupidest freaking thing. And again, that was an inside job. Somebody on the inside ratted him out, because I don't know how you'd ever know that.
Snitch.
You know, and nobody snitches get stitches. And then, of course, you know, you had Kirk Cousins, what, 6 or 7 hours before it's legal, talking with the team that the only team he was talking to, there was slam dunk, he was coming here, and no one else had even a sniff of a contract for Kirk Cousins. And that cost us a fifth rounder this year. You know, and now you throw this thing in there. I mean, look, as we said, I mean, there's 21-year-olds right now that are serving in the military. There's 21-year-olds that have kids, and there's 21-year-olds living with their parents. You know, so it's a full spectrum. And I don't know, you know, where Jax is and all that. All I know is Thanksgiving and Christmas will be a bit awkward, I would imagine, at the Ulbrich house.
Jeff Ulbrich, our defensive coordinator, is speaking to the media. And we're going to let you hear some of this as we move along today. We want to get your thoughts now that the fine has been issued, guys. And again, $250 for the team, $100K for Jeff Ulbrich. They prevented the disclosure of confidential information that was distributed to the NFL clubs in advance of the NFL draft. That is how it was stated by the league, and that's exactly what happened. Look, there's a reason why you don't have these potential prospects' numbers just roaming around, okay? So that is confidential information, and so that is a big part of why the fine was so, in many people's opinion, Mike, excessive. Now, we do know Jeff today started his statement out by saying his actions and his son's actions were completely inexcusable. He apologized to Shador Sanders, his family, and to Arthur Blank. That's where it starts. And I said to you, you know, for the biggest thing that you've ever done in your life, and I don't know what that is. I know what mine is. All you can do is apologize and hope to be better moving forward. That's all you can do. And hope that you get the trust, Mike, that the people who you've harmed or whatever may have happened in your life, that you get that back from them through your actions. So for his son, the son has to build, you know, his trust with his parents. That's a personal deal. We will never know how that plays out. But for Jeff Olbrich, you know, and I said this the other day, and people got upset with me. I said, look, I don't blame Jeff. As a parent, you shouldn't be, and if you're doing this, by the way, you got some other issues. You shouldn't be coming home and trying to hide everything when you come home from your kids. You put stuff down, you would hope they respect it, Mike, right, and they're not going to be going through your stuff, and that you've raised them in a way that, hey, okay, you know better. And I'm not telling you that Jax didn't know better, but to me, that's why I'm not pointing the finger at Jeff. He probably did this a million times and nothing happened.
As we said, it's just an incredibly bad decision. It's an incredibly immature decision. And you know, we got in that debate on Monday, you know, about expectations. As we said, everybody matures at their own level. Guys make mistakes. Adults make mistakes. We all made mistakes. But I mean, one thing I think we all knew and we talked about on Monday, you know, don't mess with dad's money. Don't do something which is going to jeopardize, you know, your dad's place of employment. So, I mean, that's generally considered common sense. So, as we said, I mean, yes, this kid, or a young man, I'm not going to say kid, young man, however you want to phrase it, you know, is going to be dealing with this, you know, job interviews, things like that. Oh, for people who remember, maybe they don't, I don't know. But, I mean, like the idea that somebody wants to throw death threats, come on, get some gosh darn perspective on this. Okay, that's just plain ridiculous, you know, and that's just, you know, people just losing their minds over something, which at the end of the day, yeah, it's stupid, it's embarrassing, and, you know, if there were more pranks that he was involved with, apparently they've isolated just one, that's it, over and done with, and now Jeff Olbrich's humiliated by this, the Falcons are embarrassed by this, and we'll hear if Jeff, if he's addressing any questions about it today at the press conference.
As I've said today, here's the punishment. Find us on social media. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes, Mike's at Mike Bell, ATL. And then I said, let's move on. Hopefully this never happens again to any potential draft pick. That's where I'm at. I don't know what – do you want me to just stand on this table today and go nuts and go crazy? Guys, fine's been issued. Team's going to handle it. Jeff Olbrich is doing everything in his power to say the things that you only can say in these situations. I'm sorry. 404-726-0929. That is the number. If you have a thought or opinion, we'd love to hear from you. And as we said, find us on social media. This is news simply because this came down today. And, you know, again, as far as Mike and I were concerned, we were moving on from this thing. Like, look, we're not going to do anything to this young man. Nothing's going to happen with Jeff Olbrich. And the league did what they needed to do because they have to set a precedent moving forward. You cannot have, in the future, assistant coaches, Mike, or offensive or defensive coordinators leaking numbers, no matter how it goes down, without some kind of consequence. So for everybody that wanted consequence, Mike, they got it.
Yeah. Jeff Olbrich's history with the Falcons, not so great. Anyway, so moving forward, hopefully things are going to get better. And this guy that's had some errors in judgment himself, as far as personnel decisions back in the day, whether how much he was involved in getting in someone's ear about a certain edge rusher we drafted over another, and then his time with the Jets and now his time here. I hope he does better, you know, with the defense, you know, managing his computer. Let's put it that way.
All right, guys. Speaking of Jeff Olbrich, let's hear his opening comments just moments ago up at Flowery Branch.
Obviously not happy and shocked. And so I made the Falcons aware of the situation. And then our next course of action was to try to get a hold of the Sanders family so we could apologize in person, which we were able to do. The Sanders family, Shador and Coach Sanders were amazingly gracious, more gracious than they needed to be in a moment like this. Yeah, it's another part of the regret, you know, obviously a tremendous amount of regret for what my son did and for what I allowed in being neglectful in that way. But it's another part of the regret is there's so many amazing people in this building that did an amazing job in this draft process, and then to pull it off on draft weekend and do as well as they did, it's hard because those people should be celebrated in these moments, and they probably weren't as much as they should have been. Yeah, it's difficult, but like I said, it's something that I brought upon myself, and my son brought upon himself. So it's one of those things where we gotta take this on the chin, and we absolutely are doing that and taking full responsibility. And I'm hopeful we'll grow and be better because of it.
And that's all you can say. That's Jeff Olbrich, our defensive coordinator, talking to the media today about the actions of his son and how he said they were completely inexcusable, and apologizing to the Sanders family, obviously Deion and his son. And look, I wouldn't expect – I told you guys this. When the kid called, okay, over the weekend to apologize, Shador didn't have to take that call, and he did. So I wouldn't expect them to do anything but have grace in this situation, because I think that's the part that we all get caught up in is the hype and all the other stuff that happens with the Sanders family, Mike. It's marketing. That's all it is. At the end of the day, what do they really care about? What kind of person and people are they? And that's the part that I think you're hearing Jeff Olbrich talk about, because they could have handled this a completely different way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if does the NFL, do you think that they, I mean, how do they come up with a number? Because some said, why do they come up with $250,000? I had one guy on social media, well, Arthur Blank's a billionaire. This is a drop in the boat. What do you want, to find him $1 million? I mean, let's get some perspective, okay? Anywhere, you know, six figures, you know, $250,000 sounds, I guess, about right. But, I mean, I don't know if it would be this much if you didn't have the hue and cry from ESPN, basically, an endless cycle of people whining and moaning as if what happened to Shador Sanders is the greatest injustice ever perpetrated on an athlete. But either way, it happened, and it's embarrassing, it's ugly, and look, that's basically all Jeff can say, as he can take it on the chin and turn the page.
And hopefully, you know, again, we're talking about things that matter with our football team. I just that's where I'm at. Look, over the last 6-7 years, when we not made the playoffs, it's been about all this other stuff.
Right.
It's time for it to be about ball, as they like to say. We always talk about coaches and players. Oh, he loves ball. Can we talk about ball? Can we get to a point, Mike, where the football and the excitement of our football team and the players on our team are the conversation instead of something else? And again, this is one of many, as Mike pointed out. But to me, as a fan, that's the thing that's bugging me the most.
No, look, I'm sick of Kirk Cousins. I can't wait to get Kirk Cousins off this roster. I'm sick of talking about him. You know, I'm looking to see who we're going to get as a solid backup and a real, you know, sort of veteran that can be in there to help out Michael Penix Jr. And maybe it will be Cousins, and they're just going to ride this thing out. But that's going to be a distraction. So even if we're, you know, kicking butt, that story's going to hopefully, you know, not be too big a story, but it's going to be a story. But I'm with you. Bunch of just nonsense. I mean, this, you know, we had one of the drafts that most people feel really good about. You know, I mean, it's rare to see a lot of folks around the country give us a good grade on a draft pick.
Mm.
You know, and I get it. There's some high risk, high reward with Pierce. We've dove into that. But a lot of folks and a lot of Falcon Nation feel really good about this draft. And then you deal with this sideshow. So, as you said, can't wait to turn the page. But, you know, it just some things, and this is, goes back to that, you know, Atlanta-itis thing, Carl, that some people say. You know, when you're a dysfunctional franchise, stuff like this happens. You know, and that's when you get labeled. You know what stops that? Winning the Super Bowl. You know, then you're no longer dysfunctional. We won Super Bowl 51. All of a sudden, we're the, you know, one of the great stories in Atlanta sports history. We're not this dysfunctional train wreck, which always seems to manifest itself in strange ways we've never seen before.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, again, it's not about losing. It's not about how we lost. This is more about how this team and situations have happened that have given us and left us with a bad taste in our mouth. And that is why, when you talk to people that are not from the A, or you travel around the country, these are the things that people talk about. They don't ever go, man, you know what, Michael Penix? Man, you know what, Drake London? Oh, my God, I can't wait to see with Bijan. That's the conversations we should be having. Not, oh, so it happened to y'all. Because that's right. What happens. And those are the conversations we get. 404-726-0929. Cody Benjamin is going to join us, guys. CBS NFL writer. He loved what we did in the draft. Why? What made it special to him? And we'll talk to him about some of the other things that stood out to us coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It is Dukes and Bell. Our offensive coordinator also spoke today, Mike. I'm curious to hear what he has to say. Zach Robinson.
I heard Randy McMichael today talking about on Andy Rendy that, you know, he still thinks about great job. Drake got his contract. We'll talk about that. His fifth year picked up. But is Drake where Pitts should be on the field in this offense for Zach Robinson? It's interesting.
All right, guys, that's on the way. Right now, let's talk to Cody Benjamin. He writes for CBS, does a terrific job, covers the NFL. And Cody, excuse me, one of the things that we've been talking about is some of the guys around the country like yourself who love what we did. I read your stuff. I really enjoy reading you. Tell me why you like what you think about what the Falcons did in this draft.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I think obviously the Falcons moves, especially on day one, they don't come without risk. Obviously, when you're giving up such premium draft capital, you know, trading a future first round pick. I mean, those don't come around very often. You don't, you like to hold tight to those things, but the fact that you're leaving the draft with, you know, two of the top edge rushers from this class, you know, some might say, well, you didn't need to go that far. But, you know, for years, everyone's kind of clamoring for a bona fide, you know, quarterback chaser in Atlanta. And now they might have a few of them and you know, to go with it, Leonard Floyd in free agency. So I think just right away, it's kind of they're doubling down on this clear need that needed to be filled. Now, again, it comes with some long-term risk. I mean, but I think that the added bonus of adding two guys, you know, and Jalen Walker and James Pierce is that, you know, a guy like Jalen Walker, there was, you know, a lot of scouts were saying that this is a guy you could play at multiple spots. I mean, off-ball linebacker and then a straight-up edge rusher, whereas James Pierce, you're probably looking more of as just a speed off the edge. I think they'll work well together, so I think immediately Raheem Morris's defense definitely looks more promising.
And that's the thing, Cody. We weren't expecting Jalen Walker to be there, so that was amazing. We did kind of monkey around on the clock, maybe looking to trade down, because there's been a lot of buzz that they really did not just like James Pierce, they loved him. Like, it's tunnel vision. There is some risk there, but you like Pierce, you like the pick itself. Would he have been worth it at 15?
I mean, I don't think it would have been crazy to take him at 15. Now, with Jalen Walker on the board,
right,
obviously that's why it unfolded the way it did. I think that, like you said, I don't know that anyone really, most people didn't anticipate Walker being there at 15. It almost was the too-good-to-be-true option for the Falcons, you know, the Georgia connection, but just, you know, fitting what they needed. But yeah, I think James Pierce, if Jalen Walker had gone earlier, would have been an acceptable pick at 15. I think the thing that understandably makes people maybe a little more skeptical is just giving up that future first, because, you know, I've seen some others say this too, you know, you wouldn't give up a future first and, you know, hop down in another round for many veteran players. And so you're obviously betting big on on what he can be long term. But we know edge rusher is a premium spot. It's a spot they've needed to fill. So if you're going to take a swing, you take it there.
Cody Benjamin joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can check out his stuff at CBS Sports. He also has written a book, by the way. He's the author of Eagles Super Bowl, and it's out in stores as we speak. Let me ask you about Xavier Watts, the kid out of Notre Dame. Everybody's talking about our two edge guys. This kid may be the most accomplished player that the Falcons drafted when you talk about what he was able to do at Notre Dame and the level of play. I mean, we're talking about incredible numbers that he put up this last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I think it speaks to, obviously, you know, I'm hitting it over the head here, but when you're giving up the future picks, you want to take advantage of the other picks that you have. And so, you know, we saw this with some other teams, too, where you're maybe limited, like the Minnesota Vikings. They came in with only four picks. They turned it into five. But when you're a team like that where you're limiting your draft capital, you've got to make the most of those other swings. And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you look at the rest of the roster, and it fits. It's where you want some upside there. And so I think all eyes are now, obviously, they're still, I guess they've been all offseason on Kirk Cousins and what's going on behind Penix. But, you know, even if you take away the Kirk Cousins situation, I mean, you've got enough pieces around Michael Penix now where you're starting to get into a position where you're looking at the 2025 Falcons and saying, we're really going to be what Michael Penix makes us, because, you know, the swings in the draft are promising, bold but promising. You've got kind of everything you think you need on offense, and it's kind of up to the young guy now to deliver on the promise under center.
Cody Benjamin's with us, guys, from CBS. And again, that was the formula for our 2016 Super Bowl run with a really young defense with some great picks that got nailed in the draft. The story, and I read your blog, was pretty funny last month, where you guys were kind of role-playing Aaron Rodgers, because there really is no market for Kirk Cousins unless Aaron retires or somehow doesn't go to Pittsburgh. Real quick, any other insight or any later insight on where Rodgers may go?
I mean, with Rodgers, I think there's nothing new to offer, except I think that Pittsburgh or nothing right now until something else moves. And honestly, it might feel like that for Kirk Cousins as well, because, you know, if Kirk Cousins' deal the whole time was, you know, I don't want to waive the no trade clause or I don't want to be dealt to a spot where I'm going to be in the same position. Well, you're going to be in the same position unless it's Pittsburgh. You know, again, if Rodgers kicks this thing out until mid-July, it's August, and the Steelers are like, we need an answer. Maybe then that is an opportunity for Kirk Cousins to say, hey, I can go in there. I can start immediately. For both Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins, it really, the pickings are slim. You know, we saw even in the draft, you know, teams being hesitant, and that's a whole different story, but being hesitant to take flyers on Shedeur Sanders, on Will Howard. I mean, even Quinn Ewers. I mean, these guys going late, where you've got quarterback needy teams and they're not biting on some of those guys. And so I still hesitate to believe that Pittsburgh has operated this entire offseason the way they have. And then, you know, that Aaron Rodgers wouldn't go there. But, yeah, I think it's Pittsburgh or nothing unless we get a major injury in camp.
Cody, you said fair or not, the NFL sent a message to Shedeur Sanders. But you also say that this could be the best situation and scenario that he could possibly be in, right?
Yep. Yeah, I think both can be true. I think that, you know, I prefaced it with fair or not, because we know sometimes NFL teams, you know, just because they think a certain thing about a player, evaluating a guy, his character, his on-field upside, I mean, NFL teams are wrong all the time. They are wrong all the time, including at quarterback. And so that doesn't mean, you know, and also Shedeur Sanders, he didn't choose to be born to Deion Sanders. He didn't necessarily choose the spotlight that was on him. Now, you could argue he has chosen it a little bit as he's, you know, come into his own as a prospect, you know, embracing this legendary label. But whatever, fair or not, the NFL, I mean, the actions speak louder than words, right? And on draft weekend, you don't slide until the fifth round if teams don't think there's something seriously wrong, you know, at quarterback. And so whether that's personality, whether that's on-field upside, whatever, they sent that message. But now I do think that it could work in his benefit. I mean, it's a bold prediction to say that landing in Cleveland, I guess, is good for a quarterback. But
right.
On the flip side, the bar has been lowered so much. I mean, the bar to clear in Cleveland is so low, and there's also not a ton of pressure to be on the field immediately because of how many other arms they brought in this offseason. And so whether or not it was fair, if there was any ego involved for Shador, it's hard to look at the black and white results of the draft that says you are now the fourth string quarterback on the Cleveland Browns. I mean, if that doesn't lessen whatever ego may or may not be there, right, I don't know what will. So it could work in his favor.
As we say, Carl, humble yourself.
Humble yourself.
It's Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports with us, guys. And that's the thing. You know, the more information that came out, anecdotal stuff from general managers, I mean, they were still thumbing their nose as he was falling down the draft. I mean, it's just the level of hubris was out of control. Meanwhile, to your point, Deshaun Watson likely never going to play again. Flacco here for a minute. Don't know why they took Dylan Gabriel, but yes, I mean, he could – look, if he puts the work in, silences the critics, and they can just hit, you know, fix that hitch with his giddy-up and get the ball out quicker, he could be the biggest hero in Cleveland since Brian Sipe.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the Dylan Gabriel pick to me, like you said, at a certain point it became like you're seeing 31 other teams pass on Shador over and over and over again, and you convince yourself, well, we have Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. Neither of those guys projects really as a long-term answer right now. And so I think the Dylan Gabriel pick was, well, we're not going to touch Shador because no one else is, and we've already passed on him so many other times, but we do still need some developmental arm in Dylan Gabriel. And then when you come back around later, two rounds later, the fact that Shador's still there, I mean, Andrew Berry, their general manager, he's admitted as much that that wasn't the plan. They were not, you know, when they picked Dylan Gabriel, I think they fully expected, well, someone else is going to clean up the Shador fall. Mm. The fact that they did it, you know, 10 years from now, will we look back and say they were accidentally heroes here by taking him? We'll see.
Yeah, it's a great point. Biggest surprise for you, was there one in this draft? Look, I mean, in the first round, it was pretty much chalk, first five picks or so. I do think the Travis Hunter trade with Jacksonville shocked a lot of people, but Jacksonville trying to be bold there and a new general manager and head coach. But is there something that you just were really taken back by outside of Shador? Because that seemed to be this draft. This is what we're going to talk about, as you said, 10, 15 years from now. And do you remember when?
Yeah, I think that, you know, sticking with Cleveland a little bit, you mentioned the Travis Hunter thing. It wasn't so much the moving down. I mean, it was a big deal to pass up on Travis Hunter. But then for the Browns to kind of go old school football, you know, with their priorities for those first few picks, you know, with Mason Graham, you know, then addressing, you know, getting a running back early. It was curious just because it felt like, you know, by the end of the draft, they ended up with two quarterbacks that they added, but it felt like early on, you know, they're building, building in the trenches. They don't really have an answer at quarterback, and then staying in that division with Pittsburgh. And we talked about this too. It really, I don't know how you operate the way that the Steelers did unless you absolutely despise these quarterback prospects or you're certain that Aaron Rodgers is coming. I just don't know what other door there is to open aside from Kirk Cousins, aside from signing Carson Wentz. I mean, I don't know, you know, the way that they've operated, it's the total opposite of last offseason when the Steelers got uncharacteristically proactive. You know, we signed Russell Wilson. We trade for Justin Fields. We ship Kenny Pickett out. This offseason, it's let's sit on our hands with Mason Rudolph. And so, yeah, we're all still waiting on Aaron to put pen to paper there.
They may know. They may know something we don't. Cody, thanks so much, man. We got to run. Cody Benjamin, we'll get you back on, brother. Great stuff. Keep up the good work. CBS Sports. Thanks again.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Coming up, guys, Jeff Olbrich, Mike, speaking to the media. We'll let you hear more of what Brick had to say as he apologized for the actions of his son. If you're just joining us, the Falcons have been fined $250,000 for that prank call, and Jeff Olbrich fined $100,000. We'll let you hear it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
To take care of your finances, guys, you're doing everything else. I mean, look, you've got that spring cleaning list, all the to-dos, and you're not thinking about refreshing your finances? That's something you should be thinking about, and Trajan Wealth can help you with that. It's Carl Dukes. Here's the phone number, 404-390-4000, with offices in Buckhead, Lawrenceville, Kennesaw, Alpharetta. You can physically go in and talk to somebody at Trajan Wealth, and they would love that because they want to see you face-to-face. Check out all the info, guys, at TrajanWealth.com, T-R-A. AJANwealth.com and see all of the services and products that they offer, because there are so many things that they can help you with. Trajan Wealth understands the concerns that arise during times of increased market volatility. And they also understand the importance of portfolios focused on capital preservation, growth, and low-cost investing options. All of the things that you go, well, I'm not quite sure about, they are. And they can help you with those philosophies. And keep in mind, they know exactly you're coming in to talk about you, not someone else or not someone else's situation. TrajanWealth.com, 404-390-4000. Advisory services offered through Trajan Wealth LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor, paid advertisement.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, Mike and I were just talking about something we'll talk about later in the show. Masters crackdown on those secondary market tickets. And I wasn't aware of this, but we were just talking about, you know, how things may be in the future. And here's the thing. If you've never been...
an event unlike any other.
Shut up, Mark.
It's going to get harder because of, shame on you folks, who basically were putting stuff out there, Mike, when you know you shouldn't have been doing it.
Yeah, I mean, just about a dozen, 12, 15 years since my last Masters, we actually did the radio show from like Ticketmaster's Hospitality House, where you would go and pick up your badge for that day and then return it.
Yeah.
And the person who paid for it for Saturday or Sunday would then use it. So I don't know how, you know, Masters got in a twist over this other than the profits. Maybe, I guess, somebody is definitely in their bag because that's going away. You're right. It's going to get even harder now unless you've got a guy.
Yeah, no doubt.
And as a guy, is it a friend with a green jacket?
Correct. Yeah, really, because it's almost going to be impossible. But good for the Masters. Listen, you want an event. I was about to say it. You want an event, guys, that is
an event unlike any other.
Oh, shut up, it's not. Mike. No, it's not. Exclusive. You want exclusivity, Mike. And part
but you
of
want
that,
genuine. You want the real people in the world who truly love golf to be able to have access to it.
Yes, you do. But you also want the idea that if I have paid X amount of dollars for the real McCoy, okay, that I'm getting that and I'm not that somebody's not abusing the privilege of having the access that is so hard to come by. I mean, that's part of it. Right. What's up, Day-Day?
Yeah, well, they're also saying, I'm pulling up the article, they don't even want people there that bought the tickets, like you said, Mike, like resale. They don't even want that.
Yeah.
They want it to be all authentic. Yeah. Straight up,
you're in the lottery for the Masters, right, and you get your you get your badge. Period.
Yeah. I hope they do it, man. All right, that story is something that Mike and I were talking about. If you're just joining us, just want to turn the page. I just do. Teams fined $250,000. Jeff Ulbrich fined $100,000 today. He addressed the media. We're going to let you hear that. We're also going to hear from our offensive coordinator, who we've not heard from here this offseason. Let Jeff and our OC tell you they were very involved in this draft. Now, the irony is, you say, well, how can an OC be involved in a defensive draft for the most part when we drafted all these defensive guys? Because he's still evaluating guys that, you know, he could take advantage of, or how they play and how teams have played them in college. Like, you still want an evaluation, but it's not as if he wasn't in the room. So we've heard that from Jeff Ulbrich specifically, Mike, but we're going to hear from both Zach and him coming up here on the show. 404-726-0929. Guys, if you missed Cody Benjamin, go rewind talking about the Falcons. He liked what we did. He explained why. I think it makes plenty of sense. But, Mike, he brings up the one thing that we continue to talk about, and that is the value of what we did to go get James Pierce Jr.
As we say, guy, no risk it, no biscuit. But this guy, man, there'll be all eyes on Pierce. The good news is, if you got everything right the last two or three years with defense, with some of the guys we haven't been able to contribute just yet, maybe we got this defense, which all of a sudden, from being one of the biggest liabilities for years, becomes a positive. But you're right. I mean, by the way, do you have a number, you have a benchmark in your head for what you need to see from Pierce this year?
15.
Okay.
No, I'm joking.
I'll take six. I'll take eight. Eight's a nice round number.
Yeah,
eight.
I'm not going to put that kind of pressure on the kid. Look, I don't think, because now we have multiple guys that can get after it,
He doesn't have to have 15 to be successful. But you're right. I do think he needs to be in that 8 to 10 range.
Well, I mean, because with all due respect, if he puts up the same numbers, you know, Arnold Ebiketie did in his first year. And again, Arnold's been a solid piece, and every year he gets better and better.
Well, what if he pops because of all this stuff?
Because a rising tide, whoop, raises all the ships.
That's right.
Ebiketie went for 2.5 sacks the first year, then 6 and 6. And that's where he's kind of been like a solid second-round piece. But when you move heaven and earth, and we did – you really do have an extra. Like, I'm not trying to put even more pressure on the young man, but you know he needs to rip.
Yeah, I'm not going to say 15. That's a little bit excessive.
How about 8?
Because if he does, then.
But I mean, but like
then we're talking about something
when
special.
You look at what the Rams did 2 years ago in their second and third round picks, and then what they did last year with Verse and Fisk.
But most, yeah, but dudes. They had multiple guys who had multiple sacks.
Right.
It was like 5 guys with 7 or 8 or 9.
Right.
It wasn't just one dude dominating.
But we've never drafted that guy save for, you know, Patrick Kearney and Vic Beasley.
Yeah.
You know, and Abraham was a free agent, man, back in the day.
We're going to see, guys. Big O's behind the glass. He is our engineer, of course, day-to-day executive producing. Let's get to our daily download.
Story number one.
Let's hear Jeff Olbrich addressing the media today. He said he was shocked, by the way, when finding out that his son had prank called Shedeur Sanders and immediately tried to get in contact with the Sanders family on top of contacting the Falcons.
First of all, I'd like to publicly apologize to Shedeur and the Sanders family for what occurred. Second of all, I want to publicly apologize to Mr. Blank, Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, and the entire Falcons organization. My actions of not protecting confidential data were inexcusable. My son's actions were absolutely inexcusable. And for that, we are both deeply sorry. The NFL has taken action, and I fully respect the punishment. We take full responsibility, my son and myself, and we will not be appealing the fine in any way. Going forward, I promise my son and I will work hard to demonstrate we are better than this. Again, I'm deeply sorry for our actions. Yeah, obviously not happy and shocked. And so I made the Falcons aware of the situation. And then our next course of action was to try to get a hold of the Sanders family so we could apologize in person, which we were able to do. The Sanders family, Shedeur and Coach Sanders were amazingly gracious, more gracious than they needed to be in a moment like this. They've been challenging, but you know, we brought this upon ourselves, you know, and the fact that I didn't protect the data well enough and my son did something, obviously he has a great amount of regret.
Jeff Olbrich, defensive coordinator for our Atlanta Falcons. And look, as just a parent, every parent can understand him saying the things that he just said. As a coach, Mike, you are disappointed, and I'm guessing. What do you think Arthur Blank said? We don't know, but what do you think he said? Because that's who he has to answer to.
To paraphrase Danny Glover and Lethal Weapon, I'm getting too old for this spit. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't need this. I don't need this. I got enough aggravation. Think I need this on my watch? Let's go. You know, so yeah. I mean, Arthur probably just literally like, you know, because you got to be. I mean, it's like you see Arthur. You know, eye roll. Are you kidding me? So yeah. I mean, like as we said, Jeff. Look, he's a stand-up guy. He's a guy's guy. You know, played in the NFL, and he's, you know, what can you do? You just take it on the chin and yep. you move on. You know, and as we said, I mean. This too shall pass. It's just tough because, as we said, why can't we have nice things? You know, anytime we have something which feels so good, we're feeling warm and fuzzy about the draft, and then the sidebar. So, look, at the end of the day, hopefully Shedeur Sanders goes and kicks ass in Cleveland, wins that starting job, and everybody who felt like, you know, so apparently he's been shot or wounded and will realize it was just a draft pick that slid because of some actions his family took. But this became a different conversation about this. And by the way, Cooper DeJean got pranked. Tyler Warren got pranked, the tight end, you know, out of Penn State. There were a lot of other guys. Abdul Carter, we found out today, got pranked, which told he was speaking with Jacksonville. So, but unfortunately, you know, Shedeur is in the limelight, and that's the only thing that anybody on ESPN wants to talk about.
All right, guys. Also today, as I told you they would early in the week, Drake London's fifth-year option was picked up. there was no date on when they were going to do it. Excuse me. It was just a matter of, you know, the timetable, Mike. And they had time to do this
But what are we waiting on? You know you want Drake. You know he's going to be here. You know you want to pick up his fifth-year option, and it's a smart thing to do. And now we can move forward knowing this, Mike, and also potentially start working on a long-term deal probably after this season when you start talking about what the long-term future and viability is for Drake London. That is something the Falcons absolutely had to do.
Yeah, man. And again, he's done a fantastic job and probably would have a few more 1,000-yard season under his belt if not for, just a really bad quarterback situation that he came into as a draft pick.
No doubt. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
Braves win again, baby. They won 9 of their past 11, 8-2 last night over the terrible Rockies. It was all about Money Harris, who drove in 3 runs.
Kind of peel that back a little bit. Michael Harris liner to right center, and it gets by Moniak all the way to the wall. 2 RBI double for Michael Harris, and Atlanta grabs the lead in the second.
I said it on Twitter last night or this morning when I watched the end of the game on DVR. Man, that Moniak is a freaking butcher. I mean, you forget what the Braves were like before we made the jump from Turner Field to Truist Park. I mean, you go through those transitions and you reset. But the Rockies, I mean, that's one of the worst baseball teams I've ever seen.
Ever.
And I was a kid that got to watch the Mets in the 70s.
Ever. I thought the White Sox were bad last year. This team is worse. So I don't know if they win 25 games. I'm being serious.
I mean, you go back and you think about like some of the worst teams of all time. You talk about those White Sox, the 62 Mets, an expansion team. My God. And that ballpark, the cool thing is, it's such a cavernous park, we were doing it without the long ball. Because that's always, you always feel if the Braves don't hit the home run, they don't win, but they found a way.
They did. Orange just said, good thing weed is legal up there. Let's get to story number three.
Story number three.
What was going on in the NBA playoffs last night? Knicks lost a game that they probably should have won. That series is now 3-2 New York. You've got the Clippers and Denver now 3-2 after, Denver beats them. Mike, it's one of those things where you go, all right, what's going on? But the night really was about Milwaukee and Indiana. Indiana, they win the game, guys, but that's not even the story. So let's first hear Tyrese Halliburton hitting the go-ahead layup. This is how the game basically ended.
Here comes Halliburton. Hits the timeline with 7. Outside the arc with 5. Driving in the lane at the goal. He lays it in with 1 3/10 seconds to go. Milwaukee has no timeouts. They have to go the length. Ball is going to be played in by Antetokounmpo. He gets it to Trent. And this one is over.
Yeah, man, and that one was unbelievable. And unfortunately for Milwaukee, just an amazing comeback. And, I mean, to sit there, and it was on NBA TV. So if you're looking for it, I know we're used to seeing some of the bigger games on TNT.
Couldn't find it.
They're trying to get you to watch NBA Network. But that's why that went down. But I just thought if you go and you watch, who knew that was such a heated rivalry, right? It's sort of become a thing now between the Pacers and the Bucks. But last night, if you didn't see it, a guy who helps get the Bucks almost gets the win, Gary Trent, has the ball, goes through his hands. I mean, literally hit him right in the hands. It was a low pass. And then he's just sitting there stunned. It was just unbelievable. He had 2 turnovers in the overtime.
So that's the game. And then Giannis Antetokounmpo is standing on the court. Here comes Tyrese Halliburton's dad. His name is John. And he's waving this big, huge flag, and he's talking to Giannis. And after the game, Giannis talked about this interaction, which this is the part, guys, is getting all the pup.
I believe, being humble in victory, that's how I am. Now, there can be a lot of people out there that are like, no, when you win the game, it's a green light for you to be disrespectful towards somebody else. I disagree. I've won the championship. They haven't, okay? And that doesn't say anything. I'm not trying to minimize their effort. But losing a game, emotions run high, having a fan, which at the moment I thought he was a fan, but then I realized it was Tyrese's son, which I love Tyrese. I think he's a great competitor. He was his dad, sorry. Coming in the floor and showing me his son a towel with his face. This is what we do. This is what we effing do. This is what the F we do. This, I feel like that's very, very disrespectful.
I mean, they shook hands. Next thing you know, they're going forehead to forehead. I mean, it's almost like in European soccer showing tremendous. I don't know how you can have your forehead on another dude's forehead and start swinging on the guy. But luckily for Halliburton's dad, Giannis did not start swinging because that would have been over pretty quick. But get your dad off the court. I don't know if alcohol was involved or just he runs hot. But either way, man, if that's a fan, you're banned for life. It's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And here's the part, Mike. These parents, a lot of them, AAU, college, mm-hmm. your kid gets to the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
All these moms and dads are sitting courtside.
Whether living vicariously to their child.
Correct. Whether you realize it or not, they're all sitting around. And if you go to enough games, you start to realize, oh, that's such and such's mom. Oh, that's his niece. Oh, that's his uncle. These guys are always around. And the point is, they feel like they're on the team. So when the team wins, a lot of times they're on the court, they're flossing, they're shaking hands as if they just played. You didn't play. You didn't hit a jumper. Sit your ass down somewhere and relax and be a parent, man. And I saw this last night, and I'm like, you're right. He walked up on the right dude because easily if you found me in that moment where I just lost right. another series.
Pow.
I'm probably – this is my last game in Milwaukee because we're not winning anything. Right. You know that. And in the back of my mind, now I got this dude, I don't care who he is, waving this flag in my face. That should have been easily a situation where he could have been hurt. Either way, Mike, last night this became a huge deal on Inside the NBA.
You think that's why you're an idiot too?
Giannis has
no, that's not true. No, I'm just telling you. That dad is an idiot, and no, if you think he's an idiot, you're an idiot too.
I will say that his dad is always on the court.
I will say this. We all have met his dad, and he has.
His dad's always wrong. On the court.
No, he should be on the court.
You don't have
an entitlement because your son is playing
to be
on the court.
Hold on, time out. He's always on the court.
He should be on the court.
I don't care. He's always on the court.
He should not be on the court talking to other players.
Bro.
There you go. So whether Shaq was trying to make the point that he's used to it now and that somehow gives him some leeway, either way, he shouldn't be there. End of story, and you heard Kenny and Charles basically saying as much. Another guy that shouldn't be on the floor, shouldn't be on a sideline, is Tom Thibodeau. Because he's an idiot. If you didn't see the end of the Knicks and the Pistons, which is a throwback to like the late 80s, early 90s, Thibodeau has to deal with a couple of injuries. Unfortunately, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart both go out simultaneously. They're ready to come back in. He's only got one timeout, and Pistons are up six. You got to foul somebody. Some assistant. Who's the worst free thrower on the Pistons? Hack him. Get your guys back on the floor. Too much time comes off the clock, and the Knicks have a chance to eliminate another team. They've blown six games at Madison Square Garden since 2000, Carl. It's amazing. They may blow the series.
Situational basketball. You can talk about how hard anybody practices and how long. In these game situations, what you do matters.
He's run its course anyway. Win or lose, wherever he goes, it's time for another coach at the Garden. Come on.
Hey, man, we're coming back. Fourth and one's on the way. And, oh, we got some news we've got to share. Stay right there.